Mind Your Business, brought to you by Appalachian Commercial Real Estate, Sales, Leasing, and Consulting.
The quality of healthcare in your community, it's not just about doctor's visits and access to care. It's about maintaining dignity for patients from the very beginning of life all the way to the very last stages. Hello again, everybody. Welcome into another installment of Mind Your Business, a presentation of the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce. I am David Jackson, President and CEO of the Chamber. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the podcast here. Thanks for your continued downloads. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcast. We drop this thing in your podcast inbox each and every Thursday. We are going to spend some time talking this week about a very special healthcare agency in our community. Caldwell Hospice and Palliative Care was a top-of-mind organization for quite some time, and they changed their name recently. They are now Amorim Hospice. Same service, same folks, just under a different name. But with that name change, they've also got a ton going on as they continue to be the High Country's nonprofit hospice provider and look to provide more and more services at every turn. So in addition to a new office complex, they're also talking about the construction of a new inpatient facility here in the area and how that can service the needs of patients and families who are coming down toward the end of life and want to have quality care and dignity within that care that is befitting folks in those situations. So we're going to talk with the staff of Amorim Hospice this morning about where they are in that kind of broader conversation about expanding care, why this care is so important. If any of you have ever dealt in a situation where you're have a loved one or a family member that is going through hospice care, you know that that's not just about a nurse coming in and checking in. That's a system, if you will, an array of services that helps you plan, that helps you grieve, that helps you process, but also helps you provide what is oftentimes elevated need of medical care, all sometimes within the privacy of your own home, or in the case of what Amorim is trying to do here inside a facility that will be designed to be a true transitional place that will take care of all of those needs that I just mentioned in a very positive way. So we'll talk about Amorim Hospice here in just a moment. They are, again, one of the growing healthcare services in an area of our state here in Northwest North Carolina where healthcare drives quite a bit of the economic conversation as well. We have plenty of opportunities from a jobs perspective in this area. So for those of you job seekers out there, just know that good things are going on at Amorim and they continue to expand and have needs as well. So before we get into all of that, let's talk about some other issues here because we've got a lot of conversations going on in the community. We've got the next Watauga Housing Forum event coming up on Monday. As we record this on Thursday the 7th, coming up on Monday the 11th at the Watauga County Community Recreation Center. The Watauga Housing Forum gets into affordability as the topic of conversation. So from 5:30 to 8, you can engage in that conversation Monday night, April 11th. If you'd like to register, visit watagahousingforum.org and you can get signed up. Again, meals provided. There will be a great opportunity not only to hear from some experts, but have good conversation with other community members and service providers and interested parties about how we might be able to start looking at the issues of affordability and factoring that into the greater conversation. We've got two of these conversations down, two more to go. We've got affordability and then the solutions conversation that will come up a little bit later toward the end of the month and all of the data that is being processed from these first three conversations will really lead into some of the efforts that will go into the solutions round of the talks and what the goal is there is to really start to plant the seeds of what a community action plan will look like for this. This is not a decades, or this has been a decades long conversation. It is not a quick fix. We have set that expectation, I think, very well, but this is where it starts, right? So these last two conversations, very important to make sure that community action plan can be all encompassing, but it can also be realistic and set some well understood timelines for where we might be able to have short-term wins friends, but also long-term investment to make sure that we can improve housing here in Northwest North Carolina. So again, WataugaHousingForum.org. Make sure you get registered for that, and we'll see you over there Monday night. On the chamber front, we've got two events I want to tell you about real quick. The upcoming 4 Under 40 Awards, April 28th out at the Mill at Rock Creek. Earlier this week, we announced our finalists for each of the four categories. So congratulations goes to the folks in our business owner category. Carrie Cavanis of Interface Environmental Consulting, Angela Hevner, owner of 180 Float Spa, Brian Kossel of Everybody's Loaded Biscuit, and Megan Ward of the Care Collective. Those were our business owner finalists. Our education professionals included Dustin Curley, the athletic director at Watauga County Schools, Dr. Jamie Parson, the interim director of diversity at Appalachian State University, Dr. Katie Talbert, executive director of institutional advancement and alumni relations for Lees McRae College over in Banner Elk, and Laura Turner, the Gear Up Coordinator for Watauga County Schools. As we look at our nonprofit professionals, our finalists for 4 Under 40 this year, Alex Fish, the Food Service Manager at Valley Cruces Conference Center, Sarah Grady, the Construction Manager for Watauga County's Habitat for Humanity, Tom Henry, Founder and Executive Director of Appalachian Mountain Leadership, and Caroline Poteet, the Director of Development for Blue Ridge Conservancy. And finally, our rising stars, Yako Gerbrands, who is the residential real estate broker for Allen Tate Realtors, one of the crew there. Megan Mason, marketing and communications director for Lost Province Brewing Company. Danielle Nybar, general manager of the Horton Hotel. You may remember Danielle from the Inn at Crestwood. She just moved jobs, but now she's at the Horton and is nominated as a rising star. And then last but not least, Nicole Norman, the finance director over at the town of Blowing Rock. Those are our 16 finalists for 4 Under 40 Awards, four per each category. So on April 28th, we're going to honor all 16 of those folks. We're going to let you know about them, and then we'll pick one winner from each of those categories to be our 4 Under 40 award winners for 2022. So if you know one of those folks or are just interested in what the emerging leaders of the community have to offer us, we invite you to come and attend this event. And again, April 28th from 5:30 to 7:30. Out at the Mill at Rock Creek. That's up Highway 194, just past Castle Ford Road. Got plenty of opportunity for you to come, and we look forward to celebrating these folks, as well as our Respect Your Elder Award winner. That will go to a community mentor, and we've got the perfect choice for that this year. So an exciting night ahead here in just a few weeks. You can buy tickets online at boonchamber.com. Those tickets include heavy hors d'oeuvres, a couple of drink tickets, and the opportunity, again, to usher in a new crowd of emerging leaders here in the High Country. And then the final thing I want to mention from a chamber perspective, we've got Vision Northwest North Carolina on the horizon as well. May 19th, that event will be held at Leon Levine Hall on the App State campus. That's the building over by the hospital. So not on traditional campus, but over toward Watauga Medical Center. We have got a host of folks that will be in to talk about the emerging trends within workforce development and really what looks to be the best way to plan for the workforce we will need for the future. And that is everything from understanding the demographics behind that, some of the shifting trends that we've seen, some of that pandemic related, others just due to population shifts. But then also thinking about the enticements that help you hire people. What are those things that go beyond wages? How do you set the culture within a business that somebody wants to participate in today's day and age? So we're going to have those conversations. We've got plenty of information about Vision Northwest North Carolina at boonchamber.com. This is a regional event. We talk about this over a 12-county landscape of Northwest North Carolina. So there are some things that are already going on in the area that are quite successful and can be answers for people when it comes to solving some of these workforce strategies that might be successful in one county. We want to make sure everybody in every county up here knows about what those successes may be and how they may be able to implement them. So check out details online, boonchamber.com. And you can get plugged into that conversation as well. Talking a lot about quality of life, right? The quality of the workforce that you can provide, the quality of the healthcare that you can have. And that is the subject of this week's installment of Mind Your Business as we learn more about what's going on with Amorim Hospice, their name change, their continued growth, and the assets that they provide to this community. Amorim Hospice, our guests this week on Mind Your Business.
Mind Your Business is brought to you by Appalachian Commercial Real Estate, providing professional commercial real estate services.
Welcome back to Mind Your Business here this morning.
morning on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM. David Jackson back with you from the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce. And again, as always, our program brought to you by our friends at Appalachian Commercial Real Estate. We, as I mentioned before the break, are talking about one of the most important and I think most dedicated group of professionals in our community. When you talk about healthcare and anybody that has ever had anything to do with the organizations that are involved in hospice care, understand that these are among the angels of the angels when it comes to providing the quality care and the dynamic care that is needed for people as they are making transitions within their own lives and the family aspects of that come into play. Having people that are well equipped to handle these transitions are just life-saving for the families involved. So we want to introduce to you the team at Amorim Hospice. Now, this is maybe a new name for you, but it's not a new organization. Caldwell Hospice and Palliative Care has been a great member of ours for a long period of time. And due to some transitions organizationally, there is a new name that has come from this, but it's the same organization that has been serving as the High Country's nonprofit hospice partner for quite some time. So I've got with me today Carol Smith, who is the Vice President of High Country Services, and Carrie McFalls, who is the Vice President of Community Engagement with Amorim. So first, welcome to both of you. Carol, let me start with you first to go through some of the who, what, and why hospice organizations exist and what is different about Amorim here in the High Country.
Thanks, David. Hospice organizations, of course, hospice was formed to care for people at end of life, and it is a specialty, okay? Dying is definitely a specialty, and our staff is trained specifically in the aspects of symptom management, support for the family. We're also trained in bereavement services for after someone passes. We follow a family for 13 months with bereavement services. In order for a patient to have hospice services, a physician has to say they feel like that the patient's diagnosis of their terminal illness will limit their life till 6 months or less. Okay. They do this based on disease trajectory. We have patients on hospice for sometimes up to 2 years because they can be really sick. Then they perk up a little bit, if that makes sense. And then they get sick again. But we take care of them by supporting them with nursing visits. We have nurses on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So, at 2 o'clock in the morning, if that patient needs a visit, we're going. Okay. And that visit can be for any symptom management. Basically, if you call, we come. Okay. We also have CNA services. Our aides go out to the home and help the patients with their personal care. And that's usually 2 to 3 times a week, but it can be more. They're usually there about an hour a day. We have medical social workers who also go and see the patients. There are support system resources. We have a chaplain who visits with patients. And we also have volunteers. Now, because of COVID, our volunteers are working virtually right now or making telephone calls with patients. But hopefully soon, the great big monster of COVID will dissipate and we can start our volunteers back face to face. I know we're all hoping for that. Medicare, I don't know if you want to get into the part of reimbursement and that kind of thing, but Medicare and most insurances cover your hospice services. So you do not get a bill for hospice services, okay? We do cover those services and we cover anything related to your diagnosis. I may be getting into the weeds too much here, but it means if you have any medications related, any symptom medications, any equipment you might need, your medical equipment, those type of things we cover, okay? There's one myth I would like to debunk. People think if you go on hospice that you can never go back to the doctor, you can never go back to the hospital. That is not true. you have us to help manage your symptoms, but you direct your care. The patient and the family direct the care.
And I think you paint the picture well, because I think one thing that is often maybe understated during these times is that everything is so confusing. You're dealing with a family member that's coming toward end of life, and you know, maybe that's through a chronic condition where you've had some time to process that, or it could be something that deteriorates very quickly. And having people that can help understand, you know, how are you paying for this? Where can I get this new assist device? I've shared with the two of you, my mother was a hospice nurse down in Greensboro for the better part of a decade and became a hospice patient at one point in time as well. You have a team of people that can assist your every need during that time. As we talk about Amorim Hospice here this morning with Carol Smith and Carrie McFalls. Carrie, I think it's also important to note too that hospice care has evolved in the High Country. Caldwell Hospice, we'll go back to the legacy name for a moment, that has been an agency that got involved in the High Country and brought that local care to the High Country. And I think that's another important piece to this, is that a lot of times people tend to respond a little bit better when it's your neighbor, it's your trusted community member that is coming into your home and helping you with some of these challenges.
So Caldwell Hospice has been in the High Country since 2014. And something that I really want to stress today is that, you know, people do like that local feel of knowing that it's a local person taking care of them. So we do have the team that is stationed in the High Country is made up of people from the counties in the High Country. You've got team members from Ashe County, you've got team nurses from Watauga County and from Avery County. And these are well-known faces, people that all of you know, or that we all know and recognize and know do a great job with the care they deliver. So we do take a lot of pride in giving that local support from our local team.
And with that, some of the things that we hear as we discuss hospice care, you know, there are different types of hospice agencies, and you have made the comment that Amorim is the nonprofit hospice partner for the High Country. What does that bring to the table with that nonprofit status that may be different from a for-profit hospice agency?
So we both can probably add some to that. As a nonprofit hospice agency, we aren't looking to try to make money off of what we do. Certainly, we are a business, and we do get reimbursements from insurance and whatnot. But our main goal is to provide care to anyone, regardless of their ability to pay. So if someone does not have a payer source, we will still make sure that they receive the care and die with dignity, just like everyone deserves to have. We want to make sure that the families are supported. So some of our programs that as a nonprofit hospice organization that we offer are the extensive grief support services that our families of patients receive post-death. We don't make money off of those, but we certainly feel that they are just as important and that those families need that type of support. Some other programs that we have is a massage therapy program. We have a virtual reality program. These are all extra additions that, you know, as an organization, we're not making money off of, but we want to still offer those services to our patients and their families to make sure they receive that holistic care that hospice is truly created from.
We're very patient focused, and that is their mission. Do what the patient needs. Okay. And so, as Carrie said, we're not here to build up our bank account. We're here to take care of our patients.
We've paid for utility bills or purchased groceries and all of that just to make sure. And we meet these patients and families where they are. It doesn't matter. We place no judgments. It doesn't matter if it's a homeless person or, you know, the richest person in the state, we treat them all the same.
Well, and meeting families where they are at that difficult time can mean being flexible. And that's some of the flexibility that you've spoken to here that can provide essential services to people, again, no matter what their circumstances are. And to do that, certainly there needs to be money raised. There's a capital campaign that we're going to talk about after our commercial break here, as well as some new opportunities for Amorim to become even more entrenched in the High Country community that we're talking about that they serve so well here this morning. So we'll take a break. We'll come back and talk more about Amorim Hospice with Carrie McFalls and Carol Smith. You are listening to Mind Your Business here this morning on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM.
Mind Your Business is brought to you by Appalachian Commercial Real Estate, providing professional commercial real estate services.
Welcome back into Mind Your Business here this morning on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM. David Jackson with the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce, visiting with Carol Smith and Carrie McFalls of Amorim Hospice, talking about, number one, the value of having hospice care locally presented within a community, but then also how Amorim does this is changing a bit as they become even more entrenched in the high country. And Carrie, I'll start with you on this. You talked about this relationship goes back almost a decade now, where Caldwell Hospice was able to bring a true high country presence. You have fortified that even more so now with a beautiful new office facility out in East Boone, we'll call it. So tell us a little bit about the facility and what it will be able to add for your team.
So we just opened up our palliative office center on off of Archie Carroll Road. It's actually on a private road called Moonstruck Lane. And Carol and her team just recently all moved in there. This facility houses our hospice team and our palliative care team. On the property, they're adjacent to that building. We have plans to open a hospice patient care unit to serve patients who may need additional support or care with symptom management or respite needs. So this unit we received a certificate of need from the state and for a 7-bed unit. And so hopefully this will be the one and only patient care unit to serve the high country. Currently, any patients who need symptom management care that cannot be managed within the home or the facility they live in currently have to drive down to Lenore, Hudson, or Bowdy's to receive that care. And so certainly I think everyone knows that travel in the high country, especially during the winter, can be very challenging. And it's not an ideal situation for family members to have to drive up and down the mountain, sometimes as long as an hour and a half one way trip. So this facility will provide the people of the high country with a inpatient or hospice patient care unit to serve those needs.
It has been much needed in the high country for many years. When a patient, we serve a lot of younger families, unfortunately. We serve so many families that it's just, say, the husband and the wife, and you come to that end of life and, you know, you're giving medicines frequently, that kind of thing. They don't have the support. This inpatient unit will allow them somewhere to have their family member, to be able to move their family member. They will be able to stay with them in this inpatient facility, you know, overnight. It's not right now, if someone is at the end of life and a family just cannot take care of them, our only options are to take them to the hospital or to place them in one of the local nursing homes. And this facility will not have that kind of feel, either the hospital or that. It's going to be very home-like. Very peaceful. The setting is absolutely gorgeous. We're bordering a creek and bordering the woods. So it's very quiet and peaceful, and it gives families the option. They can keep their loved one home, but if they can't do that, we're going to have a place they can bring them.
Yeah, I can speak from personal experience in transitioning my mother to a similar facility and allowed the family to be or move from the caregiver role into the family role once again.
That's right.
Especially for those final days, that is something that can't, there's not a value that could be placed on that for sure.
Right.
In order to build this facility out and to have the robust services here, obviously a capital campaign is in the works here to help support the agency with not only this project, but the rest of the mission work. What can you tell us about that campaign and where it is and how people can engage with it?
So we have a goal to raise $8 million to build this new facility. And currently we just received a large challenge grant from the State Employees Credit Union Foundation to support this project of $1.5 million, and then have received a lot of other large gifts to put us right at $2.5 million, short, just a little bit under that amount. And so we're very excited about all the support that we have received from the community, from private donors, from businesses and organizations. And we are getting ready to kick off the public phase for this campaign. And we're really going to need support from the community because this is, Amorim is a community-owned hospice. So this is the community's, this is the High Country's patient care unit, not Amorim's patient care unit, but the High Country's patient care unit. We have been very fortunate to receive a lot of financial support, but we're going to need more. If anyone is interested in making a donation or a contribution to the capital campaign, they can certainly reach out to me. They can make a donation online at amorimsupport.org. Something I want to say, David, is Amorim is Latin for the act of love. And I certainly can't think of any better word to describe the type of care that our staff deliver. However, a gift to the campaign is also an act of love. So we really feel that the support that we receive, the support that we give, and the support that we receive is an act of love.
Very well said. And one last thing I want to touch on, as part of this build out, you also have a brand new office building for your staff. Carol, can you touch on what the new facility is added just for your team to be able to have a nice, fresh place to gather and do their work from on a daily basis?
Our former office was in Carriage Square, and it was a smaller unit. This office is just like I said about the inpatient care unit. When we build that, it's in a very peaceful setting. It is large. We have meeting rooms now. We have a wonderful conference room that when we get everything completed, we hope to be able to open to the public. If there's, let's say, just off the wall, Boone Drug needed to have a meeting with their employees, they certainly could use our new conference room. The staff is just over the moon ecstatic. We have a nice break room, a nice patio area. And it's just, it's with COVID going away, it's great because we still follow very strict COVID guidelines, but we have enough room that we can spread out and be in the office more.
Well, hey, you say the words conference room and the community comes running. So just know that you'll have no shortage.
And it houses up to 90 people.
Yes, it does.
Wow. Yeah.
State of the art, projection, the whole nine yards. So.
Well, and this is just off Old 421, not too far away from Blue Ridge Energy. For those of you that are familiar with that area, that used to be the main drag into town. Not as much anymore, but it's not too far off the beaten path situated well in East Boone. So easy access for all involved. I can't thank the two of you enough, not only for the work that your organization does, but just for your willingness to share. It's always exciting to hear about the growth of what hospice services are available here. Again, near and dear to many people, anybody that's ever had interaction with hospice, you know what I'm talking about. These folks deserve everything that they can to continue to do the great work that they do. And Carol and Carrie, we appreciate you sharing that with us. And we look forward to sharing more about the campaign and your efforts moving forward as we continue on throughout the year.
Thanks, David. We appreciate you guys.
Thank you so much.
That'll do it for this installment of Mind Your Business. We are right back with you again, same time, same place next week here on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM. Good morning.